thank you.
It's good to be here again. And I understand there's some kind of event on next weekend. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's a birthday party that's in the John Tyke Centre in Compton. And as the woman said, how dare he have his coronation when it's his child's birthday party? I think the theme of next week is going to be Meet the King. Because the coronation is a time where everything makes it totally formal. King Charles is very different to Queen Elizabeth. Have you spotted that? There always seemed to be some mystique about Queen Elizabeth. Partly because she'd been there so long, and she seemed to have this sort of authority which wasn't too much on the surface, but was absolutely there. And what she wanted to have happen, happened. Prince Charles was an outgoing person who ran the Prince's Trust, having set it up, which works a lot with young people. He also had his Duchy of Cornwall, so he's a farmer. And he was also part of the, well, he was the Prince of Wales. So he sort of spread his hands quite well, didn't he? The problem is, we know all about him. We know what he thinks, because he's not too backwards in making his feelings felt. So different to the Queen. And because we know him so well, there's a tendency, you know, just to be that little bit flippant. He's the King of England. But the press don't treat him like that. So they feel like having to go and criticising him to do it. And it doesn't seem to matter. They would never criticise the Queen in that way. Because although I think we've moved on from the off with their heads ages, she would have sorted it out. People respected her, mainly because they didn't know her too well. And she lasted a long time. Well, tonight I invite you to meet the King. Except we're talking about the King of Kings. Now, Jesus had spent 3 years in his ministry talking to people, preaching to them, giving them advice, healing them, raising them from the dead, casting demons out. He was quite busy in that area. But he was not what the people thought was a king, because they were under Roman occupation, and when they heard about Jesus, they said, at last, somebody who can overthrow the Romans and free us of this. They were expecting a full king with army and everything else. And they were disappointed. Jesus, on Good Friday, although I recall it that I'm never sure, was crucified. On the Sunday, he was raised from the dead by God. And he started to appear to people. Now, if King Charles walked in here tonight, what would he do? My sense is we'd all stand up. Because that'd be the polite thing to do. And then, of course, we'd be referring to him as Majesty and everything else. We each would have our own response to the King. He wouldn't come, you know. I asked him, Can you come tonight just to prove a point? Now, too busy. So let's meet some people who saw Jesus, the King of Kings. We start off with one of our readings, and there's Mary. She came to the tomb to embalm the body. That's what they did out there. And she got to the tomb and the stone had been rolled away. And she looked inside and the tomb was empty. And she was distraught. And she asked the angels who just happened to be sitting there in the tomb, what have you done with him? And they said, he's risen from the dead. But he's not here. And she went outside and she spoke to a man out there who she thought was a gardener. And she said, have you seen Jesus? What did he say to her? He said, Mary. And he said it in just that tone that in that instant she knew that this was Jesus. And her response? Master. She gave him the place that he belonged as her master. And then he said, go and tell the others that I'm actually alive and we'll catch up with them later. Remember Thomas? What do we know about Thomas? I was going to ask Jeff just to see if he knew, but I'm not going to, because we don't even believe that's his name. Because Thomas means twin. And he had another name in a different language, which again meant twin. We don't know his profession, but we sense, because he was out there on the lake with the other disciples that went fishing, that he might have been a fisherman. The one thing that stands out about Thomas, apart from being in the list of disciples, was that he doubted. He was into evidence-based thinking. His beliefs were based on evidence. Our beliefs are based on faith. And the 11, because he wasn't there, we don't know why, but they were cowering in the upper room with the door locked and just trying to hide from the world. And Jesus appeared before them. He seemed to have this knack of walking through walls. And he appeared before them. And he was saying, this is me, I'm alive, don't worry, it's all going to come right. But Thomas wasn't there. And when they went out afterwards and saw Thomas, they told him. And now the evidence belief comes in. Until I can put my fingers in his hands and my hand in his side, I will not believe. The next weekend, they were up in the upper room again. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus went up to him and said, come on, Thomas, put your finger there. And Thomas didn't. Instead, he just said, my Lord and my God. He gave Jesus the place that he believed Jesus should be. My Lord, my my God. And Jesus said, you're right, and it's good that you've seen and believed, but it's even better if you haven't seen and still believe. Master, one of the responses, my Lord and my God. And then we come to the Emmaus Road. Two of them were from a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. What is 7 miles from here?
Yeovil.
Yeovil was 7 miles, so if they're walking home, that's where they're going to walk. And that's quite a way, isn't it? If you're doing 4 miles an hour, you're going to be doing 2.5 hours, or one and three quarter hours. And if you walk more slowly, which they were doing, it's two and a half hours. And as they're walking up the road, this man joins them. Why are you looking so sad? He says to them. What's happening? And they said, are you the only one in this area that doesn't know what's happened? That they took Jesus and they crucified him? And it says, as they continued to walk up the road, Jesus preached to them and gave them the best Bible study they would ever have in their lives. I suspect that 7 miles went so quickly. When they got there, it was going dark. And just like this area, you know, I mean, when it goes dark, you've got to go inside because it's dangerous. And they said, come and stay with us. Because it's dangerous, and you carry on in the morning. So Jesus went in with them. And when they got the food out on the table, it was Jesus, the guest, who took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. And immediately they recognised this was Jesus. But they hadn't recognised him on the road. And then Jesus left them, conveniently walked through the wall again, because that seems to be his new style. What was their response? They said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he walked with us and he talked with us about the scriptures? Didn't our hearts burn within us? And then we've got the Ascension breakfast. Even though Peter and the others had heard that Jesus was risen from the dead, but they hadn't seen him, they wondered what to do next. And in the same way that the two disciples went back to Emmaus to continue their lives, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And a whole bunch of them said, we'll come with you. Can't remember whether it's 7 or 9, but I think it was 7. We're in the fishing boat, so a very sizeable boat. And you know how they fished in those days, didn't you? They got the net, spread it out amongst the people, and threw it over the left-hand side of the boat. And these expert fishermen were out fishing all night and caught absolutely nothing. And then they were coming to shore. And Jesus said to them, because he was on the shore with a barbecue, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. He said, throw the net on your right side and see what happens. And they did, and the net was filled. And then John looked carefully at the shore and said, you know, that's Jesus. Next thing that happened, Peter's over the side and swimming. I'm not going to wait for the boat to get there, I want to get there now. That's his response. Let me be close to Jesus now. I would have thought that Peter would be the last one to want to see Jesus so urgently. Because remember, he denied Jesus 3 times. And he must have been dreading meeting Jesus to have to account for that. But he went upon shore, and he noticed that Jesus was barbecuing fish. Has it ever occurred to you to wonder how Jesus caught the fish? I suspect they just came out and threw themselves at him. Let's have breakfast, he said. But in the meantime, they were counting the fish.
153.
Yeah, but the main thing is, and some people believe there was one of each kind of fish in the net. Nice thinking. But they were fishing in the daytime, and you don't do that. You go fish at night because the fish can see you and they clear off, don't they? They were shouting at each other. Now, if you've ever walked along a canal bank when people are fishing and you're even talking, then you get really filthy looks, don't you? Keep quiet, the fish will sit there hear you and they'll go. And Jesus told them to throw the net over the right side in daylight. Now, the tradition is it has to go over the left side because when you're in the middle of the sea and it's dark, then you need to know which way to throw the net. You can't have half doing one and half doing the other, can you? So it was tradition that you always went over the left side of the boat. In fact, it was considered bad luck to throw it over the right side of the boat. But there you go. Jesus told them and they were obedient and they caught more fish than they had in a long time. So they finished up their breakfast and now reckoning time. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." And then Jesus said a second time, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." And then Jesus asked a third time. And we sensed that Peter was getting a little bit frustrated. He said, "You know I love you." And then he was given this commission to go and feed the sheep. Why did Jesus ask Peter 3 times? Probably because Peter denied Jesus 3 times. In fact, everything seems to happen 3 times with Peter, if you look a bit further. So 4 situations and 4 responses. The first response, "Master." Total submission. The second one, "My Lord and my God," and in brackets, "and I will never doubt you again." The third one, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" And the fourth one, "I want to be near Jesus now." And then he acted. Meet the King. Not King Charles, meet the King of Kings, the one who one day will be coming back and will come to collect his church. of Kings. So as you're thinking and watching things on the television next week, and you know, I'm sure you will be. By the way, how many people here saw the last coronation on television? You see, most people, it's a common occurrence, isn't it, for some? Whilst you're watching television, give a thought to the King of Kings when he presented himself to those four sets of people. Amen. We're going to close by singing 575. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore.